This is the Gambling Gauchos.
You're listening to the Gambling Gauchos, part of the Steak in the Plains Content Network and the Dave Campbell's Republic of Football podcast feed. Just a couple of casino caballeros talking Texas Tech, betting on the Big 12 and beyond. Now, here's Kyle Jacobson and Rob Bro live from the Cardinal Sports Center studio.
Bienvenidos. Yo soy Roberto. He's Kyle Jacobson. I need to learn Spanish, man. If we're going to be in Mexico, if we're going to games in Mexico, if we're going to do all that, I got to learn Spanish. I started Duolingo yesterday before I even knew the news. So we'll brush up on the Spanish. I know some
nosotros.
Words. Nosotros, we're going to, yeah. Nosotros, vámonos, baby. Let's go.
¿Sabes que puedo hablar español?
I did not know you knew Spanish so well.
Sí.
Is that because you grew up in Austin or?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just like to throw those digs every once in a while. We're live
si no sabes, ahora sabes. That means if you don't know, now you know.
We're in the Cardinal Sports Center studio. If you need to gear up for anything Texas Tech related, like a half a header, one and a half header coming up in Texas Tech baseball world, or if you want to gear up for the Lady Raiders, they got another recruit. They're going to be good. The Lady Raiders are going to be good. They lose a couple of big pieces, but they are – I'm really excited about the Lady Raiders. If you need to gear up for the Lady Raider games next year, do it at Cardinal Sports Center. You can do it live, in person, right outside the loop on Slide Road or online at mycardinalsports.com. Also, look for some new merch coming along, Gambling Gauchos merch. We're excited about it.
Gauchos merch, they just dropped what looked like a few different styles of old school double T hats.
From the vault.
The vault. So yeah, they got a lot of good stuff going on. And if, you know, off season, you know, we're pretty much in the off season. We got baseball, but maybe people need some Texas Tech retail therapy to hold them over. And so when you're shopping all summer, do it at Cardinals.
We're also here live on the Republic of Football podcast feed. Always want to give them the shout out as well. The first comment here, well, the first comment is hat game on point, Kyle.
Gracias.
They love the hats. And the second one is, which day of the week will the all Spanish pod take place on? I'll say this.
Pues, sábado, domingo, miércoles,
Monday,
lunes,
Tuesday. Sunday? Lunes, domingo, Sunday.
Sí. Bien, Roberto.
I'll work on my Spanish. If Texas Tech plays in Mexico, we're in.
Si jugamos en México, estamos in.
I actually like it better that you're just translating.
I don't know. I can't do that one.
Give some challenges there.
Once you start changing like tenses,
yeah.
I like that you're translating. We're going like present participle and stuff there, and that's yeah. Where it gets a little bit shaky.
So did you just take Spanish in high school and you just remember it, or was that a college thing? Or did you
I took some Spanish. Family? Well, yeah, I took Spanish in middle school.
Oh, you started early.
High school, and then I think I had to do one semester. No. Dos semesteros in universidad.
I mean, I did too, but I didn't learn anything. I was not a good student, Kyle.
You want to know a funny story, getting to know the Gauchos?
I would love a funny story. I always like your funny stories, Kyle.
How do you say getting to know? Conociendo los Gauchos. So my Spanish 2 teacher, freshman year of high school, was a native-born, native speaker.
Oh, yeah.
Was a great teacher, obviously. She's fluent. My Spanish 3 teacher es gringa y no conoce español like Professora Kemp in Spanish 2. So that was kind of an interesting dichotomy. You go to the next level and your teacher is not nearly as good at Spanish as your teacher from the semester before. But anyway, when I get to Spanish 2, the first day of high school, they make you take a test just to see how much you know going in, so they kind of know where to start and everything. I was the first person ever in Professora Kemp's class to get a 100. And this is like after summer break, no studying, I'm going in cold. And she goes, no way. Cause like it was one of those deals. You fill it out and you pass it to the person next to you and they grade your, she was like, there's no way, but she double checked it. And I even got, you remember Vosotros?
That sounds familiar.
So Vosotros is a noun, I guess, only used in Spain. All the other Spanish speaking countries don't really use it.
Yeah.
And so they didn't teach it to us in middle school. They were like, yeah, you don't really need to know vosotros, so we're going to skip it. But when we're like conjugating all of these verbs, I even knew vosotros. And so you weren't even supposed to fill that part in, but I did anyway. And I got those right. That's how good I was at Spanish back in the day.
We've known each other for what? Two full years now. We've been doing this stuff. I don't think you've ever dropped a Spanish line. You just don't like to show it off or what?
I'm not any good at it anymore. It's been a long time.
I'm surprised that you say that, Kyle. You sound pretty good.
So I always had good dialect for a non-native speaker. I was complimented by my gringa profesora on my pronunciation. And I was friends with all the, so there was like, I had three friends in Spanish 3. All three of them were native born Spanish speakers. So, like, I wasn't friends with them for this reason, but they were really good at Spanish. And so when we had to do like projects and stuff, it worked out well. But my American professor thought that I sounded like a native speaker, which I took as a compliment, but I was also like, you're not a native speaker. So that compliment coming from you is a little bit diminished.
The only Spanish phrase I knew for a long time was the cheese is old and moldy.
Can you recall it right now?
El queso es. No. No, I can't. It's been a long time. No, I can't.
We also got into some Spanish music.
I want to look that up, though.
In Spanish 3?
Eres tú.
Eres tú. No, we learned about like Victor Jara, a Chilean musician. He was was it Pinochet? Or anyway, they killed him for being subversive to the government.
Wow.
But she taught us some of his music, and I actually really liked it. He has a song called Cigarrito, which is really good. It's kind of like a working man's blues.
Yeah.
Song about the tobacco farmer. There was one song called Me Voy Pa'l Pueblo. It translated to, I'm going to town. Today is my day. I'm going to, you know, wash all the worries away. That kind of was like, I like this vibe.
It was like a Jimmy Buffett song. El queso es viejo y mojosa. Viejo y mojosa. Have you seen Encino Man?
No.
You gotta watch it. That's a classic, man. Pauly Shore, Brendan Fraser, Sean Astin.
I've got to cop to something real quick, Rob.
Okay.
For the first time today, I really started diving into some of the other podcasts on the Republic of Football Network. I'd been meaning to, but, audiobooks, all this stuff. So anyway, I listened to a couple for the first time today, and I need to listen more. I wonder how many people are trying to listen to us for the first time right now. And they're like, we're 9 minutes in and all these guys are doing talking about Spanish class in high school. Like, are they going to talk about sports at all? And that's on me. I'm just observing here.
That's true. Comment, Rob S. El Guapo Gaucho. So thank you. I appreciate that.
It would be Gaucho Guapo because in Spanish, the adjective succeeds the.
That's a handsome. Right. Is this a football pod or a football pod?
Football norteamericano.
Hey, we got football coming up May 13th. if you're in Lubbock.
I just remembered on the pod one time, and I only remember this because it was posted on No Context GG. I said baloncesto, which is basketball. So you knew I at least knew one word in Spanish.
I did not remember that. All right. Let's just stay on the Spanish train. Brett Yormark kicking it around that Kansas and Houston might play in Mexico in 2024 with more games to come, and that is in football, I believe. Or is that in basketball?
That's basketball, but that's I think Kansas also to have football games.
But also have football games in Mexico City. I, for one, love it. If you can work it out to where at least two games are not in America or somewhere, and you kind of can hide.
Oh, that's me. That's me.
You looked at me like that was me, didn't you?
So I'm on Senora Gaucho's laptop.
Oh,
which is synced to her phone. So if she gets a call on her phone,
that's okay.
That's probably her boyfriend or something.
Yeah. Well, your wife's boyfriend's pretty cool. If you can kind of hide the losing a home game aspect of it, if you can hide two road games or do it early in the season or something, do it far enough out where a team can have three non-conference games at home and you kind of lose a conference home game, whatever it is, if you can hide the scheduling in that way, I'm all in.
Yeah, on the home game deal, I assume that you're going to play a 9-game conference schedule in 2024 and beyond when this is all settled. And so, obviously, some years you're going to have 5 home games, 4 away, and then the opposite is true other years. And so, certainly in a year where you only have 4 conference home games, you don't want to play one of those in Mexico. But on the other years, if you have that quote-unquote extra home game, it'd be 4 home, 4 away, 1 neutral. And then I guess COVID kind of screwed this up a little bit, but you were in a cadence there for a while of playing a Power 5 team in Lubbock and then a Power 5 team on the road and not always the same team back-to-back years. You did that with Arizona State in 2015-2016. But so in a year where you have like Oregon at home in the non-con and then let's say 4 Big 12 home games, I'd be fine with playing one in Mexico. Like as long as you still get your 6 home games, 2 non-con, 4 conference, and then 1 in Mexico, it's not going to be an every year thing. You know, it's not even the deal like every team is going to have to play there every year. So if you go to Mexico once every 5 years just to maintain some kind of presence and it's in a year where you have Oregon or NC State or whoever coming to Lubbock, I think you can live with that.
Yeah, especially if it's Oregon, NC State, Mississippi State. Do you have them on the schedule if you don't play till 2028, which is feasible? 8, 29, 30, one of those.
I'm focused on Wyoming.
Trainte?
Trainte.
Oh, I sound like a gringo, so.
2030, maybe. Maybe that's not how you say years. I don't remember years very well either.
Trainte, yeah. That's 30. I don't know if it's different in years, the numbers, but I'm very excited about it. I think it's a good move. And I think Brett Yormark, he's doing things. Now, I think there's some things he should be doing that he isn't doing yet, but I just kind of think you're getting through this season in a lot of respects. There's some TV stuff and you're on the old deal and there's not a lot of movement you can do, but you know, Tech getting one game on ESPNU against Baylor and everything else is on ESPN Plus or the Longhorn Network. I would like to try to get some more national games for baseball. But beyond that, I like all the stuff he's doing. I like thinking about playing in Mexico. I like the other thing that came out this week on miking up coaches and getting involved in behind-the-scenes stuff and doing all-access shows like the NFL does. Yes, do it all.
Well,
that also kind of points to the fact that they're going to do true Big 12 network stuff, whether it's on ESPN Plus or somewhere else.
Let's finish Mexico first. I think that you and I both – I was thinking back to when Bowlesby announced his retirement and we were deliberating what we wanted in the next commissioner. And I think there's sort of two schools of thought. Like, if you're going to go, what's the best way to phrase this? If you're going to go with a by the book candidate and hire the traditional kind of person who would be a conference commissioner, I wanted Kirby Hocutt. I think you wanted Kirby Hocutt. That would be good for, you know, he has ties to Texas Tech, obviously, Kansas State, his alma mater, worked under Joe Castiglione at Oklahoma. Felt like that would have been a good guy to sort of steady the ship during a time of uncertainty. But opposite of that, we were like, well, if you're going to go outside the box, then do something really creative and try to zig while everybody else zags. I don't think we knew the name Brett Yormark until it was announced.
No.
But we're like, okay. Like, he was with NASCAR. He was with the Barclays Center. He's with Rock Nation. Like, this is very outside the box. This guy knows entertainment, whether it's sports, music, whatever, just live events. And so this is what you hired him to do. Like, you didn't hire him to do the, well, the student athlete experience, blah, blah. Like, you hired him to shake things up a little bit.
Yes.
And not all of this is going to work. So if you go to Mexico over 4 years and eight teams play there in four games and it's like not really getting viewership or the logistics are horrible, then just call Calf Rope and you don't have to, it's not a 20-year agreement or a 100-year agreement.
Right.
Try it out. If it doesn't work, okay. I think we said the same with the Rucker Park deal. But if it does help you get visibility in New York City, or you're tapping into a growing market of Hispanic Americans or even people abroad that want to watch American football, maybe this is a brilliant move that 20 years from now we go, hey, remember when we were the very first collegiate conference to play in Mexico and how groundbreaking that was at the time? So I view it as kind of low risk, high reward. If it works, excellent. If not, you quit doing this in 3 or 4 years and try something else.
Viva el Matadores.
Yeah, long live the Matador.
All right.
I would say, though, that this, of all the deals that Yormark has kind of, that have been publicized under his leadership, almost all of them, I think, were met with pretty unanimous approval. This was the first one that I recall there being a good deal of pushback for whatever reason, either saying we don't want to lose a home game, we think it's stupid to play overseas, whatever. But here's this.
Overseas, but...
Yeah, sorry. Like internationally, yeah. I guess. I guess it depends on what route you take. You could maybe go into the Gulf, and then they'll probably just fly, though, I would imagine. So I was a little bit skeptical about this at first. I was kind of like, okay, this feels a little bit gimmicky. And I'm pretty pro-gimmick in sports, as long as the dollars and cents pencil. Like, you can gripe about Jake Paul boxing, but a lot of people buy that crap and it makes money. So like, you can only knock it so much. So I was skeptical, and then I came across this tweet. This is from a gentleman named Garrett McClintock. He's a contributor at BYU's 24/7 site. He says that Texas Tech, Houston, and Central Florida are all Hispanic serving institutions, which I think that's an actual threshold that either 20% or 25% of your students are Hispanic or of Hispanic descent. And by the way, those are three in the new Big 12. Those are three of probably the four largest universities by enrollment, and also three of the fastest growing in the new Big 12. So that's important. If you are going to expand out west into the Pac-12, Arizona State, maybe San Diego State, if they're in the fold, those seem like pretty good fits as well that might have a similar kind of student demographic to the other three schools. There are 1.5 million Mormons in Mexico, and that's part of the big appeal to BYU, right? They're not only a national brand, they're an international brand because of their ties to the Mormon church. So he said, half the league has strong cultural ties, great opportunity for fan travel and potential alternate media deals. He says, bye, bye, bye. And so I was like, well, okay, like when you break it down that way, especially if they sort of are targeted in who they send to Mexico. Now, like, okay, maybe Iowa State doesn't have as much appeal in Mexico. But yeah, a team that's mascot is the Matadors, that's campus is Spanish Renaissance architecture and all of that. Like, I feel like there would be some appeal there for fans in Mexico that are getting to know the game of American football. And so, especially if they have relatives, friends, whoever, since your student population is of that demographic, at least 20 or 25%, whatever it takes to be a Hispanic serving institution, I think there's opportunity there. And this is maybe a bad comp, but the Pac-12 was convinced that they could like tap into some Asian markets because a lot of those West Coast schools, same deal, have enrollments that are tied to Asian descent. I don't think that's worked out for them. And so maybe this is destined for the same fate. But like I said, I just don't see why it's not at least worth a shot. Try it out for a few years. Other conferences have done similar things. You know, Nebraska played in Dublin, Ireland last year, week zero. That's the other thing. Sorry, circling back, one last point on this, on losing a home game. I think it's Wake Forest and North Carolina. They are conference brethren in the ACC, but they have agreed to play non-conference games against each other. So they're playing their nine-game ACC slate, then they play a 10th game against each other that doesn't count toward conference record. So if this is a week zero kickoff event in Mexico, you could add Big 12 inventory by having Texas Tech play, let's say, Arizona State if you expand, week zero in Mexico, and it doesn't even count as a conference game. It's just a non-conference regular season game. That would get a ton of eyeballs, just like Nebraska and Dublin would. So now you and I, we were thinking small. We tossed out that idea for Las Vegas, which I still think would be also a great fit. Your Mark is clearly thinking bigger picture than that. So anyway, I was skeptical at first, and then I saw that about how some of the demographic tie-ins might kind of work in your favor. And now I'm very open-minded to it.
Are the Big 12 meetings always in Scottsdale, Arizona?
I can't imagine that they are. No.
Do you think that was a sneaky play to maybe meet some guys at the Marriott Conference Center hotel bar to maybe talk a little clandestine meeting?
Absolutely.
I thought that was an interesting point. Here's the article I'm talking about. It's kind of a throwaway line. And we knew I was going to mention this on the podcast regardless, but since it's in this kind of context, I'll read it here. This is from Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com. The Big 12 Conference and its media partners are exploring avenues to modernize football broadcasts, CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd confirms. I guess this is from Dean Straka. Sorry. Live in-game interviews, expanded locker room access, and coaches wearing microphones were concepts discussed during meetings between Big 12 football coaches and administrators during the spring meetings in Scottsdale, Arizona. I thought that was interesting. This is the same article that talks about the men's, women's basketball games and football games in Mexico as soon as 2024. Now, one last note on Mexico. I don't know if they'll play at, Estadio Azteca, where they play the NFL games. That stadium's being renovated because they're hosting World Cup games there in 2026. So I don't know where these games will be played. There are no NFL games in 2023 there because of the renovations. Maybe they'll be able to host football games in 2024 as they kind of complete some renovations. I don't know if it's parking lot or interior, exterior, whatever it is, but that'll be really cool, especially if it's in that stadium. That's an iconic stadium and has some historic venues. But on the other stuff, love the mic'd up, love the locker room access, all of it. Give me Gerlich mic'd up. Give me Bob Huggins mic'd up. Give me all of the football coaches mic'd up. Give me locker room access. Give me Texas Tech opponents in the barracks mic'd up. Give me all of it. I want to see all of it this year and next and moving forward.
I see a comment here. I'm assuming they're talking about fans in Mexico. They'd love the band uniforms if the full band can be included somehow.
Oh, yeah.
First off, great opportunity for the Goan band. That's not a knock on Stillwater or Lawrence, but if your band gets to go to Mexico City or somewhere, that's awesome. And yeah, again, that part of your appeal as a university or your brand, your image, your identity is your kind of Hispanic heritage. It's the architecture, it's the mascot, it's everything. They would love to see a band with some gaucho hats, and they play all kinds of music. Like, they do songs from movie soundtracks, they do 80s throwbacks. So I'm sure they could also find music that would be appealing to that audience and really put on a show. I think that'd be really cool for the fan perspective. Rahino Barbecue has the best barbecue in West Texas. Why are you laughing? I had no segue, but I was like, we got to get to the ad read. Turkey, brisket, ribs, sausage, you name it, they've got it. But you got to get there early to get it. The lines are long. The barbecue gospel has spread across West Texas and beyond. RahinoBBQ.com. You can order ahead to make sure that your food is there when you arrive, and give them a follow on social at RahinoBBQ. So, Rob, speaking of the skepticism to the Big 12 Mexico idea, this mic'd up, all access stuff also got some pushback. We tweeted a line from the article that you just summarized, and I'm going to read a couple replies. Coaches wearing microphones, probably not a great idea. I think they're probably smart enough to not like have a live feed of coaches dropping F-bombs. Like, it'll be a it's kind of like if you've ever watched the NBA, they go back and say, like, this is what Steve Kerr was telling his team during the timeout.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Let's see. What else we got? More is not always better. That's a platitude that is certainly true sometimes, but may not necessarily apply to this. Got some people likening it to the XFL, which is gimmicky. Stupid idea. Coaches and players are trying to concentrate on winning a contest.
Oh, my God.
Screw the media. Wait until after the game. This goes for all individual and team sports.
Two things. I don't like the in-game interview. Interview them at halftime. They're going in. Whatever. Fine. Everything else. Do they not watch the NFL? Do people not watch the NFL?
A lot of people don't.
Have you heard of this little outfit called NFL Films, Kyle? They do all of that. They've done it for 50 years.
Yeah.
They mic up players every week.
So a couple more. I feel the XFL and USFL do this already, and it doesn't add much value. I'm not against trying it and seeing how it works, but from what I've seen from other leagues, meh. Well, here's the deal. The XFL and USFL are already dwarfed by the NFL. Like, that's why you don't see it gain traction. It's not because the idea is bad. And in fact, on the comparison of the XFL, this is part of the XFL's great legacy. Back in 2000 or whenever they did the original XFL, yeah, the league ultimately folded, but the NFL adopted things like the Skycam and miking up players and things like that. Like, they saw that and said, okay, there's some good ideas here. And they incorporated it into their broadcasts. Think of another thing, Rob. After every win this season, Texas Tech fans, like crack fiends, were waiting for the cinematic recap to drop the following Sunday or Monday. Imagine you've got your coach mic'd up, players mic'd up. It's that kind of content that everybody loves consuming that now you'll get for every team across the Big 12.
Yes.
The locker room, like, we love Joey's locker room speech. Heck, it's in our intro. Well, you only get access to that if somebody's recording it, and now you're going to get that between the lines during the 60 minutes the game is being played as well. Your TV footprint is not as large as the Big Ten and the SEC. It's just not. But the beautiful thing about our world is that you can share information other ways outside of the TV footprint. This is a great example from our friend John Kurtz, who covers Kansas State. He said, think of how many people who maybe don't follow Kansas State football or Big 12 football saw the Dallas Cowboys call Deuce Vaughn to let him know he was drafted, how viral that went.
Yeah.
Like, imagine a big hit, an amazing catch, and then the sideline reacts, the coach reacts. That clip can get millions of views on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, wherever, overnight, from people who do not watch your product on TV. And so you have to take advantage of opportunities like this. And yeah, could it jump the shark? Theoretically. But I think we've seen enough programs like Texas Tech do this right with content like the cinematic recaps. That's sort of what I'm imagining this becoming. And that could be a really, really good thing for your conference.
And even if it is in-game, I seriously doubt it's going to be like the XFL where the mics are hot the entire game. That is cumbersome. But that is just not
what I pictured when I heard this. Now, if that's what people are picturing, I guess that's a little bit of a trepidation, but I just don't think that's what this is. I think it's more of what you're saying, where you have post-game features, you have mic'd up features, you have content for the rest of the week that are keeping eyeballs on Big 12 football. And if you have a lovable head coach or a cantankerous head coach, one of the two, if you have one of those polar ends, you are going to have excitement after the game. Joey is going to have great lines. Gundy is going to have great lines.
Absolutely.
Even if you do this in basketball, Bill Self, Bob Huggins in the game, they're going to have some zingers. Now, those guys are hilarious. Well, maybe not Bill Self, but you're going to have some content moving forward that's going to be really, really good. And I understand coaches use a certain vernacular and vocabulary. Have you ever heard of a bleep button? Now, you're not going to use this live, but you guys need to get out there and lick on. Like, that's NFL films, man.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out.
Absolutely. Another example that I'm kind of envisioning with this, and first off, let me say I do see the other side of this, because I think in-game interviews with coaches are very unproductive, right? Like, he's in the zone, just like that one commenter said. He's trying to win a game, and so he gives you some coach speak cliche. It's not really interesting TV. Like, it's cool that you have access to the coach, but you never get any insight from those. It's like, yeah, we got to play harder. Okay. But so I'm thinking back to 2021, Texas went and played Arkansas in Fayetteville, and Arkansas beat them pretty handily. And it was a big, you know, they viewed that as a big rivalry game. And
yeah,
it stormed the field, tear the goalpost down. Well, there was a video clip that I didn't watch that game, but there was a video clip that went viral on Twitter, and it was Arkansas's athletic director kind of like coming down from the box with 2 minutes left when they knew the game was in hand, and his wife like greets him in the tunnel, and, you know, she's going nuts, you know, congratulating him. And he had this one liner. I thought it was funny. He goes, I knew we were going to beat him. I didn't know we'd beat him that bad. And so stuff like that, I'm like, okay, that's badass. Like, I'm cool. Yeah. I'm glad that I saw that moment. It's a cool moment. And then like they've got cameras on the sidelines when they, you know, rush the field and everything. And so you think about that across six conference games every Saturday, the amount of content you could, aggregate.
Yes.
With all the coaches, all the players, all the fans, like, it could be something really cool, in my opinion. Like, think of the Texas Tech cinematic recap, but times 12. And then I don't know if they're going to publish it in a 10-minute YouTube video every week, or if that gets an ESPN Plus feature, kind of like the brand. It's a 30-minute episode every week. It's more content that you can sell, and you have to find ways to close that financial gap with the Big Two conferences. And so again, if this sucks, drop it. Yeah. Just like, okay, the XFL folded, but the NFL took what they wanted from the XFL. They took what worked and they dropped what didn't. And so if the in-game interviews with the coaches suck, drop it and then keep the mic'd up stuff that's really good. Again, none of this is a 20-year commitment. You experiment, see what works, keep what you like, drop what you don't.
And I go back to the NFL films, the WASP play from the Super Bowl, the 2020 Super Bowl, the Chiefs' first Super Bowl. Or says, hey, do we have time to run this? And then you go through the whole play. Like, stuff like that with the mic'd up is just so, so cool. And the locker room access, the NCAA tournament does a really good job with this. There's cameras on all the time in locker rooms.
That's a great example. And from the Big 12, Kansas State basketball.
Yes.
They made that little baby song go to like the number one most downloaded on Spotify.
Yeah.
Because of the clips of their team dancing that song in the locker room. Or Old Town Road in 2019 when Tech was like that social media content is incredibly valuable.
Or the team that beat Purdue, what was it, Fairleigh Dickinson? Hey, the more we watch them, the more I think we can beat them. And that's like 2 days before the game.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. Now, I will say this. I think Texas Tech does a great job of producing that kind of content. The cinematic recaps, the pushing it through, all of that stuff. I think Texas Tech does a great job. But the Big 12 has not done a good job. Yep. And even if they just produce what Texas Tech has been producing, or they just say, hey, Texas Tech people, you produce this at your games and we'll put it on our platforms. Maybe that's also something that happens. I don't know if they're having, they're putting out Big 12 crews, or if it's just, hey, send us some footage and we'll use it kind of stuff.
Yeah. And the downside to the cinematic recaps, Tech would only post them if they won. Right. So there's no cinematic recap for Kansas State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor. Right. The Big 12, they just want the content. They don't care who wins or loses.
And I would like to see more stuff in losses.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose much, but.
So anyway, I think that we were, as fans of the Big 12, kind of fed up with just the stagnation. You know, this is a conference that didn't add BYU and Cincinnati back in 2014, never tried anything new, never did anything notable. And so maybe people don't like all of your Mark's ideas, and I really do sympathize with that. But at least we're trying. And that's what I like. Like, that's what's encouraging to me, is that we don't just have this defeatist attitude that, oh, well, the Big Ten and SEC are up here, and so why bother? Like, no, let's try to do something cool. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. But I'm just glad that we have a commissioner putting forth the effort to try innovative and new things.
Thank you again. And as always, thank you for listening to the Gambling Gauchos. I'm Rob Bro here, telling you this is the final Gambling Gauchos episode. No, not ever. We just have a new home. If you've subscribed to this platform, thank you. We appreciate it. You've helped us grow. But we will now be uploading all of our podcast episodes on the Republic of Football feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. Just search for Republic of Football. We're there with all other podcasts from around the state of Texas as part of the Dave Campbell's Republic of Football feed. You can also, as always, follow us on Twitter at Gambling Gauchos, on Instagram and Facebook under the same name, and on YouTube, youtube.com/@GamblingGauchos. That's the @ Gambling Gauchos. We'll post all of our episodes there. And starting on Monday, May 8th, you'll also find The Rob Bro Show, which was on this platform as well, on YouTube, the Gambling Gauchos YouTube channel. Again, we appreciate you. We thank you for subscribing and listening and growing us for this first year, year and a half. We move on to a new, bigger, and better platform. We appreciate you again. And as always, love y'all. You can find the rest of this episode on Republic of Football's podcast feed.